in the agenda.
Right. So we don't need to deal with it now?
No.
So are we therefore up to the Streetscape Working Party?
Yes. Your Worship, I'll just put this quickly. Councils have had it...
Councillor Valescu.
Sorry.
Yep. Sorry. Away you go.
Sorry, Your Worship. Councillors have had two opportunities to read this motion. The Footpath Working Party we had in the 2006 to 2010 term was really good. It managed to bring home some of those nuts and bolts issues as what makes our footpath streetscapes better for users, ways of dealing with it appropriately, appropriate treatments, how we deal with verges, a whole lot of things. I won't go through those now. And I'd like to use the enthusiasm of the new council to resurrect this working party at a suitable time. I think it'd be a really great thing because I think it's something that most people, if not everyone, have expressed a view on, and be really good to have that view reflected through their contributions to this working party. It would be on a... I don't know how often, and it wouldn't be compulsory, just the people that do have the interest in this topic. I'll just foreshadow that the Strategic Directions Committee discussions have looked at possibly something early in the next financial year to do with accessibility that's been raised throughout our community, primarily looking at some of our footpaths and our verges. So I think that our contribution will also add to that.
Councillor Valescu, before I ask for a seconder, would you like to amend the motion from a time point of view where you've said convene early in 2015? Given that time's moved on since you first conceived the motion, do you want to put a different time frame? You want to put a month or something?
Happy to take some direction from the appropriate staff as to what they think would be a good time frame.
What's that, March? Well, let's say, what about by the end of March? I'm hearing up at the top bench here.
That's fine. I'm happy with the end of April even. That's not a problem. I know we've got a lot to deal with, so...
By the end of April?
Yes.
Instead of early 2015. Thank you. I ask if there is a seconder to the motion. That's seconded Councillor Gard. Do you wish to speak to the motion, Councillor?
Yes, this is actually a very important one, particularly for Coastal Ward. Councillor Crossan's and my ward, we have some real concerns about streetscaping. We're, I suppose, one of the newer areas. We're sort of stuck somewhere between being old and being new, like Trott Park and Shido Park, and therefore we're neither here nor there. We haven't had long enough to be developed like some of the older wards, and we haven't been in the new category where everything's been done very nicely up front. So certainly I thoroughly support the idea. I think that ratepayers or residents will welcome it wholeheartedly. It'll also be a good thing for people to know when they feel that they may be paying rates that are a little high. Streetscaping is something that benefits all of us. And it's a great environmental contribution as well. My only concern is, are we going to be too late in April as far as the budget for the next financial year is concerned?
Well, I'll leave Councillor Valescu to respond to that in his reply. But first of all, are there any speakers against the motion? Well, that means there shouldn't really be much debate. Councillor Telfer, did you want to speak?
I would reiterate the importance of streetscape in Seacombe Heights. Beautiful views and very tired streetscapes. I'm very keen that that be a focus as well.
Councillor Hull?
You know, coming from the leafy, manicured parts of the city, I really need to speak up, I guess. We do have problems with too much grooming and attention. I really don't know how we can justify it, really, in the north of the city. point that I'd like to make is that I've been on working parties like this before, streetscape work, but I've been on a couple of them. And there's a few reports floating around too, by the way, that would make an interesting read, what our findings were and how the different parts of the city were going to be contributed with streetscaping. But it costs. It's big money. And if you're not willing to throw money at it, it's a talk fest and report gathering exercise. So just be aware of that. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying it shouldn't be a priority. But if you're not willing to resource it and apply it, then it's not going to work. Now, on a serious note, in the area I represent, what street trees we did have is being denuded by the fact that we're having all the infill we're having, where we're losing not only the trees on the property, but we're losing them on the street as well. Because instead of having one driveway, we're having four or three. So just be aware, and I think that should be probably a target of any streetscaping working party, to focus on the mitigation of this new way of living, which I don't think is right, and how we can actually improve the streetscape. It flies in the face of a lot of things. Talked about the environment. Our streets are turning into heat sinks because of the lack of street trees, because there's not even enough room to put your garbage bin out in some areas. So that's the point that I'd like to make about this. It's a big issue. I'm saying it should be a priority, but if we're going to do it, we've got to actually put some resources towards it. Otherwise, nothing happens. We gather reports and that's it.
Sounds like it's going to be passed. Any other speakers? Councillor Hutchinson.
Yeah, look, Councillor Hull made some good points about the cost and infill development. Infill development are meant to be replacing trees, two for one. We need to police that, make sure that happens. In terms of the budget side of things, it's true, it costs money. But this council needs to make a decision on how it does that and give some direction on that. I personally think that direction is redirection of funds into that area. It's not about creating more revenue.
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't see it as about cost. It's looking at what we want as the terms of reference, where we want to prioritise the wider footpaths where they're not there already, where in some of the new or middle new suburbs in our area in the south do we want to prioritise, where the verge is and where they need footpaths or footpaths on both sides. I think with streetscape policy, we have to recognise that each area has its own unique character and needs, and that's what we need to address. What this will do is maybe identify if there's needs, and then in further budgets, because this one will be too late, we look if we do need extra budgetary considerations. And it is about dealing with some of the challenges we have in infill. But it's little simple things like, where do we put our pavers? Are we directing the lip onto the road in the right place? And these are some of the issues that are brought up by one of our residents with an impairment. And they're the things we need to consider. And it's about avoiding problems and making it as easy for the community. So all the things that people have mentioned will be valuable contributions, and it will give us some of that direction. And I don't want it to become a talk fest. I want it to be about working through so we can move forward from it. So I look forward to participating and everyone's contribution in this working party, if they choose to be part of it and support it. Thank you.
Your Worship, I'd like to put the motion on the table to wait for budget process. I think I said that last time. I think the budget process will take place in March, so I'd rather leave that motion until we have final figures for the budget, because otherwise we'll lock ourselves into. until after the budget process?
Well,
I mean, after the budget is passed, yeah. Well, my understanding is the budget process starts in March. Is that right? Yeah.
Through the chair, yes, you're quite right. There's obviously a number of upcoming elected member forums where we'll be discussing with members how you want to approach the upcoming budget. So that'll be built into that process, enabling council to debate exactly what path you want to take, and that'll then give us the basis to finalise a budget for the 15-16 year. You're quite right.
Okay. So I'll put it on the table until March.
Through the chair, procedurally there's two options. You can either adjourn it until the conclusion of the elected member forums on the budget, or you can leave it lying on the table. To bring a motion back that's lying on the table, you do it through a motion on notice, so that would be at the discretion of the councillor to bring it back when they were ready.
I think I'll take the second option.
I'm a bit concerned that we've withdrawn that motion because I was relying on this motion to actually have this council have the appropriate.
Through the chair, as you'll see, members, these are the audit committee minutes from the 16th of December meeting. I'll take them as read and probably let Councillor Pfeiffer, as the elected member representative on that committee, to make any comment.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'll happily move it as written and assume that it is read. Look, I'm not going to spend too much time on this in my moving of it, given that it's 9:15, we've got an hour and a quarter to go, and we've got a massive agenda ahead of us. I will happily take questions on the agenda if necessary. I'll happily take them offline as well, out of session, if necessary. The only thing I will mention that came out of this particular audit committee, which I found particularly interesting, was in relation to debt management. Now, we do only have three members on that committee at the moment, myself and the two independents. And in regard to debt management, a very interesting concept was brought up, which was that of intergenerational fairness. And it was something that hit me between the eyes quite hard. And that was the concept of actually using debt, smart debt, particularly when we're in low interest rate periods, to fund big long-term capital items. And the reason that you do that, instead of actually funding the whole darn thing up front for big capital items, long-term, long lifespan capital items, is that it's fairer on your current ratepayers to not be paying the full cost of something that future ratepayers are actually going to be benefiting from. It was a concept that was fascinating to actually discuss at that particular meeting. It was one, as I say, it hit me between the eyes, and it's one that I wish to be considering much more in the future. Thank you, Worship.
May, in regards to the debt, Mr. Mayor, I'm seconding the motion. In regards to the debt, I agree with Councillor Piper. But the harsh reality is, for this council, we've already maxed out. We've already maxed out in that area, and we do have good debt. in terms of a new library and community centre at Hullet Cove, and the upgrade of the workshop and city services on Marion Road. In fact, we are actually part of the biggest spend in the history of the city right now. And you will go to the opening of the biggest infrastructure spend in the city during this council term. And we need to be aware of that. So to talk about further debt, sadly, is out of the question. The other thing I'd like to point out in the report, and it sort of make Councillor Kerry sort of more inspired with his intent. Page 111, 6.2.2. The likelihood of the introduction of economic regulations for local government was high. Implementing rate increases of CPI would create a sustainable future and set Marion as the sector leader in this space. This was a good discipline to consider into the future. This is our audit committee. The messages I'm getting from the community are the same as the messages I'm getting from the audit committee. And I think that is a signal to me where I should go, or at least try to head. Having said that, Mr. Mayor, the issue with the rebate for our pensioners is a significant one, and I'd like to see an internal working document being prepared to prepare this council for decisions. And that has to happen very soon.
Informally recommending rate increases of CPI, at least by implication, is that inconsistent with a policy setting which has our rate increases between the midpoint and the fifth lowest, or whatever it is? Can you respond to that?
Through the chair, it would actually depend on how the other councils rate in comparison. I think it would be prudent and wise of us as a council to actively pursue that approach that's been discussed by a number of elected members tonight and also by the audit committee, and we are certainly well and truly down that path already. As to where we'd finish up, at this point in time we're sixth lowest out of the 18 metro councils. It really depends on what the other councils do as to where we'd pan out after that, but I would suggest we'd be probably end up lower than that based on the approach that we're all supportive of.
The other thing that I'll say for the benefit of elected members, that I had a discussion with my executive assistant tonight about the correspondence coming in about the pensioner rebate being removed by the federal government, and I've asked for a standard response to be prepared. It probably hasn't hit Mr. Mifsud's desk yet, but I thought it would be useful to have a standard response based on the facts made available to all members for the inquiries they get. I notice Councillor Crossland's already responded to one resident with an excellent brief reply, but I think it helps to have for us all to have the facts and be able to do that. I did notice Councillor Crossland's. I can't recall yours at the moment, Councillor Hull, but I'm sure it was very insightful and incisive. I think it's because the resident that wrote to Councillor Crossland wrote to me as well, but please don't try and get me off the track. Other speakers in the debate on the Audit Committee report, Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Worship. I think this page 111 talking about us operating on decreased revenue, I think that's something we do need to become more efficient. I am aware that people involved, overheard a conversation today, people involved in the discussions about amalgamation, they referred to getting information and what the approach will be from the LGA, looking at perhaps creating a whole new structure to run the actual services. So it's not shared services, but a whole new structure to run services of a whole lot of councils. And councils becoming progress associations, pretty much. That's what I heard. And I don't know where these people were involved, but it was a very interesting conversation to hear. But I guess having regardless of what we think and how we react, becoming efficient and providing services within a tighter income stream, I think, is essential. Now, going back to debt, I actually think that if we really need something and it needs to be upgraded, then borrowing money in a low-interest environment is a prudent thing to do. I read an article about the government. They're a federal government. They're in a good position to borrow for 10 years at 2.25%. Credit cards won't offer you that, you know, to try to entice you. And there are things that need to be done in the general community that, you know, the federal government could, but it's an ideological position, obviously. But I think we really need to look at it, putting our, I guess, ideological sort of commitment aside, because I guess most of us have or may still have a mortgage, and that's a long-term debt. And that's what a lot of people in our communities have mortgages, and they redraw in order to look at some of the capital improvements that they need over time. They may add an extra room in, or as their family grows, or they may look to improve their property because that's what they wish to have. Now, they do that within their means, you would hope, I'm assuming they do, but that's what people do. So I think that, you know, it's quite easy for people to get scared about debt and saying we've got too much debt. But if the audit committee is saying that we need to consider it, then one would say, well, maybe we don't. And I guess, you know, if I didn't want a mortgage, I'd be saving up 15 years living in rental accommodation, probably not in accommodation that I want because I couldn't afford anything that what I want, and then I'd pay up front. And what do I, you know, what do I achieve? We're basically telling people now, well, you've got to pay up front for something that you may not use that much of. And if we're worried about the pensioners, statistically, you know, they're less likely to see some of those things. So I think it's important that we spread the burden, especially for those people, you know, that perhaps may miss out from a pension rebate. Thank you.
Thank you. May I just suggest to members that we don't have the entire debt debate of the century right now. There will be opportunities with more information in front of us. And we're two-thirds of the way through the meeting. We have a lot of time-sensitive motions yet to deal with. Councillor Gard.
Yeah, very briefly, I did sit in on the last audit committee and I was suitably impressed with the way it was conducted and the quality of the contributors, including Councillor Pfeiffer. I do think there is a great deal of wisdom on that committee. I think we need to take heed of that. I also feel and a one-liner, Your Worship, I think debt is one of those things that you've got to look at the principal and the ability to service the principal, and that involves time frame. So there's more than just the actual number. That's something obviously that is for debate as time goes on. But on face value, I place a great deal of trust in the audit committee that at least I saw.
Thank you. Any other speakers? There being no other speakers, I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. And I'd ask Mr. Hooper, I think, could come forward for the next one, because here we have perhaps the beginnings of the infill revolt, but not that it's for me to comment from the chair. This is the motion to do with the Residential General Development Plan amendment report. I think we'll go... Let's go straight to elected members who would like to move. Councillor Hull, move. Yep. Please do.
Fine. Any consultation that transgresses Christmas and the New Year is not a good time to consult. That's my inherent view on that. So was it promoted by our council? Was it advertised? We had the workshops, sure, but I'd like to know that question, and also, heads up, what sort of response have we had? Of course, given that it's closed now.
Through the chair, The statutory consultation period was 2 months. Given that it was over the Christmas period, we extended the consultation period by a month. In terms of consultation with the general public, this development plan amendment is dealing with very minor technical issues. It's not proposing higher densities, it's not proposing lower densities. It's purely dealing with very technical issues that were raised by the development assessment panel over the last 4 years. The one exception to that is that it is proposing to rezone some land in Hallett Cove that our coastal studies that were done in the last term of council identified as being susceptible to sea level rise. So it's proposing to create a new residential coastal policy area. So every single one of the people who were directly affected by that, we wrote to them, we invited them to come and meet with staff. I think with very few exceptions, every single one of those people actually came and met with staff personally in order to have the ramifications of the coastal study explained to them. That is the level of consultation that was undertaken. Most of those people, with the one exception, were comfortable with the proposed rezoning of their land to address coastal processes, so we didn't actually get a lot of submissions from them. And given that it's all technical information, we didn't really expect a lot of submissions from the general public either, so I think the total was 11.
So contrary to advice that I received, this is not the opportunity to actually try and grapple with this urban infill issue.
Through the chair, next week at our strategic directions committee, I've got what I think is finally some good news from the state government, and that is that in August of last year, the previous council finalised its strategic directions report. Councillors who were on council at the time would remember that we had high priority items, medium priority items, and low priority items. And of the 10 priority items, two of those grapple with the issue of urban infill and urban consolidation. Those two DPAs are the residential character DPA that we tried on a previous occasion to get through the state government without success, and a residential density preservation DPA. What I'll be asking council to look at, or the strategic directions committee to look at, is now that the minister has endorsed our strategic directions report, he's basically giving us the go-ahead to commence whichever of those development plan amendments council wishes to do over the next 12 months. So we'll have what we call a SWOT analysis, we'll have all of the individual DPAs up on the wall, and we'll ask the Strategic Directions Committee to identify which ones they want to do. And so if the mood of the council is to actually pursue those two that deal with density, then that will be, I guess, the message that will be given to administration at the Strategic Directions Committee meeting next week.
Where this residential plan amendment report deals with a lot of fairly innocuous or minor items, it might not be objectionable to councillors or the public on that basis, but could it nonetheless be used as a vehicle to pull back on some of the infill that's been permitted in residential areas?
Couple of complexities with that. One is that when you actually commence a development plan amendment, the first stage is what's called a statement of intent. And the statement of intent is where you actually identify to the minister what your scope is going to be. And we were very clear in that scope that this the current residential general development plan amendment was only going to deal with minor technical issues and the coastal issues down at Hallett Cove. Given that we've already gone through public consultation and haven't flagged higher or lower densities as part of this development plan amendment and have been very clear that it's confined to technical issues only, it would be better to actually identify at the Strategic Directions Committee a development plan amendment that is actually called something such as what you've indicated. So, for example, residential density preservation is very, very clear that it's dealing with preserving the existing densities that were established in the 50s and 60s. Or residential character development plan amendment, which is very clear that it's trying to increase character areas. So my suggestion would be that if we tried to put it into the residential general DPA, the minister might respond and say, that wasn't the scope that I actually agreed to back when I agreed to the scope 12 months ago.
Sorry, members, to continue this debate, but I hope people are finding this interesting. But if the public came back, I don't know whether they have or not, but if they came back and said, well, our number one issue in terms of residential planning is density, then surely that could be the subject of amendment to the PAR when it's presented to the minister, and it could be sold to the minister on the basis that this was a hot issue for residents. Is that right or not?
What you would need to do is go back to the minister with a revised statement of intent. So the current statement of intent doesn't flag density as being part of this development plan amendment. So you'd have to go back with a revised statement of intent. My professional opinion, it's better to start a complete new one and actually workshop that with elected members where the density issues that they want to do are, and actually put up a brand new statement of intent. It would probably also be quicker, because with this development plan amendment there's a number of technical issues that the state government have raised that are actually going to take a couple of months to resolve, whereas if at the Strategic Directions Committee you say you want to start a residential density preservation DPA, we can workshop it with elected members and they get a brand new statement of intent up to the minister in the next couple of months.
Do we have to be clear about that tonight? Who's on the committee?
Through the chair. Through the chair. Every single development plan amendment has to nominate people who will be heard on the public hearing committee. Yes. And in this instance, this public hearing committee will simply be hearing submissions from people relating to what's been out on public notice. So, for example, one of the residents who lives in the area that's being rezoned to coastal policy area has grievance with that and wishes to speak to the public hearing committee. So you need to nominate the people that actually wish to listen to that resident and then actually report that back to council, as well as there's another resident now who also wants to speak as well.
We need to nominate those people.
Yes, please.
It would be preferable that the nominations are made at tonight's council meeting and a resolution is passed, certainly. Yes, you can have us. Yes.
Well, I think probably, given what we just heard, somebody from the coastal ward would be appropriate. I move that those three both be members of the committee. It picks up three different wards, so its demographics is good.
Demonstrated a long-term interest in development in the community. Seconded.
Actually, no. It's just I was hoping to remove one, but I can do so after it's seconded if you wish. Thank you, Your Worship. I would ask the mover and seconder whether they'd consider removing Vermont Uniting Church from the list. If not, I would like to... I'll foreshadow that I'd like to raise an alternate motion after this one you put, if it fails. I can move an amendment. Okay, I'd like to excise that item through an amendment, please. If I may speak to that amendment. Correct, yes. Because I most certainly do object. I most certainly do object to that
point
one.
Of order.
By deleting any of these would be a direct opposite, Mr. Mayor. It's fairly plain to see. Well, the amendment is a direct opposite, and you know, if you're going to put, we're going to pull one out. I just flag consistency is probably an endeavour for a new mayor.
Your Worship, I'm happy to not move an amendment, but I will strongly speak against this motion, and I will foreshadow that I'll be moving an alternate motion should this fail. I speak against the motion in regard to Vermont. Thank you, Your Worship. I'll start again. I speak against the third dot point of point two very, very strongly. I was on the committee that considered this, and I don't think there's order around the chamber at the moment, Your Worship. I speak against the motion because Vermont Uniting Church, I was sat on the committee with a few other members, including Councillor Hull, in the last council. Vermont Uniting Church came along and spoke to us quite an impassioned way. Yes, they have been provisionally listed. The building itself is in poor condition. The footings of the building are suffering from salt damp and quite extensive. The church itself has an extremely dwindling church congregation, a very, very small congregation. They are looking at the possibility of needing to fold their church in the not too distant future, which is obviously very upsetting for them. But they don't want to be stuck with a property that has to be there and has to be maintained there, even despite the fact that the footings are dilapidated, because it's got a heritage listing on it. And so by supporting heritage listing of that building, I'm all for heritage, I'm a strong heritage advocate, but by supporting it, and this building, mind you, is a 1960s cream brick building. It's a 1960s cream brick building. I'm not a heritage expert, but seriously, and it's younger than my house, which is also a cream brick building, you know, so... Look, I'm not here to judge the merits on that, but seriously, and you know, it's seriously hobbling the future of this particular church and its congregation for a building that's in poor physical condition. as opposed to proposing an amendment? No, because of the
you actually oppose the whole three dot points.
Correct.
Being listed.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right. I spoke to Vermont Uniting Church, but I was opposed to all three.
Very well. Can the record reflect that? Withdraw the amendment then. I'm sorry, that's really what it sounded like initially, because it sounded like there was just the concern was just one dot point of
sorry,
three.
Your Worship, that was a bit of a
okay, that's withdrawn. So, well, it's been thank you, but it's been withdrawn. Order, you've had your say. It's we're now speaking about the motion as printed. So any other speakers? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm speaking against this motion. We're not talking about the amendment, are we? Because the amendment's still up there.
No.
Okay.
No?
Good. I've just seen it's withdrawn. Thank you. Members, I'm going to speak against this motion. We spent a lot of time on this in the last term. A lot of due diligence was in place in assessing these. A heritage architect was employed. The members had vigorous debate on two occasions, and we also had the residents come to see us. Councillor Fyfe mentioned the issues with the Vermont Hall, Vermont Church and halls. Members, I think we're actually going to sink a church as a result of it. We're going to send them into financial ruin potentially if they have to maintain that building. That is of great concern to me. Members, the council was quite clear on their position. I'm not sure why the minister needs to even come back to us. He's written to us and said, do you want them added back on? If you remain silent, I'll add them back on. If you don't remain silent and you want to come back to me, he's obviously open to considering that. I'm not sure. I find that unusual. Could I... Is that unusual? Can I have a question to the administration? Is that an unusual process that the minister would come back to us again and ask us, now, are you sure you're sure?
Mr. Hoop?
Through the chair, with local heritage development plan amendments, it is standard procedure. If the minister is proposing to list properties that council has indicated that they wish to have removed from an interim listing, then it is standard procedure that he notifies council. That's his intention, and I guess provides council with an opportunity to either concur with his position or alternatively provide further information or particulars to the minister as to why council remains in opposition to it.
Thank you, but I still have overall concerns about this process that we went through previously. I'm aware of properties that were in fact part of the second subdivision in Marion that haven't even been looked at as far as I know. You know, we're talking some real turn of the century homes, and they haven't even been considered in this process, and yet we're considering a cream brick church on the main road that has got significant issues. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Just make sure I'm here. I do object actually to properties being placed on heritage listing unless there's overwhelming reason to do so. And I think just as these seem to be points of interest almost historically isn't sufficient. As far as I'm concerned, governments, if they want to have declare certain properties to be of heritage value and want to place them on a list, they should actually be willing to financially support the people that are in those residences. So I would speak against putting any of those back on the list.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Because then I'd suggest that we're probably ready for it to be put. Councillor Telfer in reply.
For buildings to have heritage merit doesn't mean they have to be turn of century. Part of our story is the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. We have to go on maintaining what we've got that is the fabric and story of our society. Otherwise, we don't have the Annie Doolan's cottages and the other structures around our city. We live in something that doesn't tell of our past and is totally mono. I understand the Vermont Uniting Church. I know of it. I understand that this is local heritage, which requires a sensitivity about the external features of the building. If the building is unsafe, it will either be dealt with or there will be ways of sorting it. But the external fabric and character assists our whole streetscapes in our city, and it is important that those whole places that we have left, and there's so few of them, remain as much as possible.
To not consider the last one, because I do, but if you feel that Your Worship, how I saw it, and I beg your indulgence, was that when a flagged amendment was put through by Councillor Pfeiffer, it was another member said, no, that by taking a bit out, it's a you can't have the amendment. And whilst you allowed the amendment and it moved forward, in the end, Councillor Pfeiffer said, well, no, if that's how it is, I'll leave it, and I've But the reason, it wasn't. I think what's happened is become a catch 22. I just wanted to clarify the situation without a dissent, because I think that's a bit confrontational.
Do
Do we want a motion saying we're going to actually address the minister and tell him that we definitely don't want it? Do we want a motion? I move so. That's okay.
Open space around them. You know, they've lost context in terms of the heritage place as well. Some of them actually have changed, their brand has been built in and all sorts of things. So, you know, like I said, I didn't want to say too much about it. This council should remain consistent. That's the point that I would like to make. And some of us do remember, and I was on the panel of that DAP, and we should remain consistent. We actually almost apologised to these people for putting them through double jeopardy. We need to actually make this the case where the minister makes the decision and not us.
I won't be supporting this because I think that we should have voted, discussed every one of these on their merits. I believe, from what I saw, things that the way that the amendment was challenged initially made the member withdraw the amendment, even though you allowed it. And I don't think we were able to discuss each of these on their merits. So on that grounds, I don't think we should. I'm not going to support it. And I may even consider bringing this to council again, so we can look at those other things on its merits. Although I may canvass councillors to see their view, to see whether bringing it back would be futile. Thank you, Your Worship.
Was very thankful that I think it was the Dunstan government that stopped the ridiculous knocking down of everything in Adelaide that was happening in the 50s and 60s. And I really feel that it's not just our generation, it's future generations. There are stories to be told, and I do passionately agree with Councillor Telfer on this, that there are stories to be told. Those stories are worthy stories. I think the state government is right in the way they viewed it. I think the council, from my point of view, was wrong in the way they viewed it in the first place. It's just a fact of life that there are places that have a story that are worth keeping, irrespective of how shabby they might look. There are places all over the world that I've seen, in back lanes, in places where they're dwarfed by other buildings, but nonetheless, the site is there, they're sacred sites, they have a story, and they're educative as far as future generations are concerned. And that's something that we're in danger of losing if we're too flippant about this tonight.
to move the motion as is.
I'll speak against the recommendation, Mr. Mayor. If I had my motion, it would be that we note the expert panel's report and that we advise the Minister that local government is the only level of government suitable to actually deal with planning issues in our community, and that would be it. The reason being is that all this criticism of local government and about how it's managed planning in the past has to be juxtapositioned alongside the performance of the state government in terms of planning, namely Mount Barker, namely Gilman, in terms of the decision making and strategic planning. I'm not going to cop this from a government that's demonstrated a lack of capacity to lead in terms of planning, that we should be advising the Minister that local government is the area that should be determining planning issues in our local communities. I don't have to go along with a process that I don't support.
Yes, just very briefly, we've been talking a little bit from person to person about the amalgamation of councils and about the issue of three levels of government, which I think most Australians are actually against. And I think this is one area where the state government is creeping ground, and it's an area where I think, and I wholeheartedly agree with Councillor Hull, they ought to butt out. When the councils do amalgamate, and that should probably be in the foreseeable future now, we will have regional councils, and those regional councils will certainly be the best prospects for making decisions along the lines of what we're talking about. So I think it's a retrograde step to send it back to state government, and then at amalgamation, which will surely happen, this council could be four times the size that it is now within 6 or 7 years. Then we're actually playing table tennis with a very important subject, going backwards and forwards. I say keep it where it is. When the councils amalgamate and become bigger, it will be even more appropriate. And state government and Minister Rao butt out.
Most council feels that local government should be the sole the sole decision maker on development, on that sort of development, that if the government were to choose to ignore that sentiment that and proceed, then this would be the way to proceed, or you think that's a bit too...
Just through the chair, I'm wondering if a statement along the lines of that council write to the minister indicating that decisions made by any planning authority includes measures that ensure transparency for the public interest. So you don't attribute where the planning authority is. It could be at a regional level, it could be at the local council level.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm happy to do that.
Nick. Any planning authority?
Proceed with this. Could we actually be brought into ridicule because our own DAP is not transparent?
Just basically, I suppose, repeating or supporting the idea that we don't support, well, I don't think we should be supporting the regional planning boards, etc. I have no doubt this is a thin edge of the wedge, and I don't see much prospect for councils in the future if this keeps continues. The indications that I get on reading about this, I haven't read the full report, I have to say, is that they're really aiming, or the government seems to be aiming, or the experts, at hiring experts to do the decision-making, which will completely exclude representation from public, from the ratepayers and residents. So, yes, so I just support the objection to the new measures that are proposed by the expert group. Thank you.
Yes, I do. I think that the decision as to whether the, and we've been advised by this with legal advice in 2011, I believe it was, when a petition of over 600 signatures sought the DAPB open, that's up to the DAP to decide. Obviously, they'll know our feeling as a council through this. This was brought, obviously, at the suggestion of governance, to put it this way. So that's an issue with the DAP. That's separate. What this motion is about that we want transparency if they choose to go on those new bodies. Also, that we're not happy with these new bodies. We do have concern about whether the level of community input about issues that affect the community, which we feel at that higher level may be ignored. And I'm guessing that's a sentiment that I'm getting. So the DAP issue is one for the DAP. They now know how the council feels. Thank you, Your Worship.
A lot of money, but this has to be put in context that it is a very big contribution to disabled kids in our city and our region, really, for that matter. If we want to talk regionally, and we should be, it hopefully will attract the co-funding from the other organisations to make it happen. It'll be a feather in our cap if it actually comes off.
One-third of the building, and now we have an opportunity for approximately 30%
only paying 30 cents in the dollar to have another great community facility and a unique community facility. I remember moving a motion that we were looking at things like Liberty Swings, but when we had the presentation last term from the Touch by Olivia Foundation, they actually looked at some inclusive space, play spaces, and it's basically a sort of play spaces where all the kids can go on it. So it's not just this is the for the kids that have a disability that are in a wheelchair. It's about everyone can use this, and I guess it changed my way of thinking that, you know, let's have those spaces where kids don't sort of feel different due to some of the challenges they may have in their life. So fingers crossed we can do this. I'll ask a question before I finish. What's the likelihood of us getting some of this funding from the state government? Is there any indication that we'll be eligible, or we're just crossing our fingers? Thank you.
So this government has actually announced $16 million in open space funding over 4 years. That's $4 million a year. This council has already been the recipient of $750,000 of the first year's $4 million allocation. So we've nearly got a quarter of the state's funding already. So that's a great outcome for Marion. Our staff have actually spoken with relevant staff in DIPTI, and they have said that they would look very favourably on this as a project, but it will be in the mix with other projects. DIPTI are very keen to see the space developed in accordance with the master plan for it.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Could I just draw your attention that there is a member in the gallery who's been here all night waiting for the item on page 215? Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move pretty much that the same motion that I moved back in December 2013, which wasn't really accepted by the administration. I don't think it was dealt with by council. And that is that, and I'll read it out, it's on page 220, that the notice of motion asked the council to acknowledge responsibility and reinstate the crossover and not continue to refer complaints about damage caused by the tree to the local government association mutual liability scheme. Now, what I'm saying is that as a consequence of the Ombudsman's report, and I hope you've all read it, it actually raises a lot of questions about council process. And basically that we actually reinstate the driveway. On page 220, it's this motion that that I actually that, item 20. Now, the council's never dealt with this before, unfortunately, and I think that's probably an issue that the Ombudsman probably could have looked at as to why that motion wasn't accepted. Now, Mr. Mayor, old habits die hard. I hope the members have read this and what the Stevens family and their neighbour have been through. For the sake of acknowledging that a council tree had damaged their infrastructure, or actually damaged council infrastructure as it may be, the costs involved with arborists, engineers, staff time where I met down there on site with a number of council staff, the internal review that happened, all the legal advice that's even been involved. We could have actually replaced the crossover and like we cut the tree down, so there was a degree of admitting guilt by cutting down a perfectly healthy street tree. We could have actually resolved this without the pain and anguish of all this and going to the Ombudsman and taking up the Ombudsman's time as well. So I think it's only appropriate because they were.
Well, you'll need to move that
way. Well, that both property issues be resolved to the satisfaction of the property owners, that the fence be fixed and the crossover be reinstated. I agree totally. In fact, it was a neighbour that brought the attention to the council of the tree in the first place, and it was a ward briefing item that dragged on, and then there was a second item, and then when I went down there, to my horror, I found out it was the same tree. I just think we should make this right. It would have been the simplest and most efficient way. You know, the fact that the council didn't spell the complainant's name right on a number of occasions just rubbed salt into the wound, and that's not a good look for the council either. So, Mr. Mayor, I so move that we actually try and make amends here and get some credibility back and reinstate the driveway and fix the fence.
Right. The council staff should have the wording there by now. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, did you wish to speak, Councillor Pryor?
Only in support of Councillor Hull here. I think this is dragged out far too long from what I read, and I think that we have admitted guilt by removing the tree, and so we should fix up the damage.
To clarify, from what I read from the report, were we, and I'm not necessarily objecting to what we do, but wasn't the issue our falling was more about how we handled the complaint as opposed to what the actual issue was? So I just wanted to clarify that the actual issue, we may have been done the appropriate thing, but I guess the way that we responded or didn't respond to it is what the Ombudsman said is where we failed. So just wanted to clarify that.
On a quick reading of the material, it actually didn't say that it was correct in any way. It just said it wasn't illegal, basically, as I understand it. So council didn't handle anything illegally, but it didn't handle the complaint very well. But if I may suggest while I'm speaking, that Councillor Hull, would you also agree with an amendment to actually apologise to them for handling their complaint badly? Thank you. Well, I move, sir.
just that if both properties are being moved, that 70 and 70A, is that not the case? Was that the intention, Councillor Hull? I heard that was the intention. I find it interesting that the Ombudsman report really focuses on what our ratepayers expect. And again, we're not hitting the mark. I think this is just another example of where we're not meeting community expectations.
Any idea what the costs will be?
Well, you've spoken, Councillor Westwood. We were about to vote, so it's clearly up there now. All those in favour, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those against? 3 against. It's carried by majority. It's 5 to 10. Could I seek advice on staff on any extremely time-critical motions that remain? All right, let's do that. It's a very straightforward motion and report on page 184 of the agenda. This is for the recruitment of a further independent audit committee member. Does anyone wish to nominate? Oh, well, first of all, informally, can I just ask if anyone wants to be on the selection panel? Councillor Blescu? We need one more. Councillor Byram? So if somebody would like to move as printed, I think this is probably one of the less controversial ones tonight. Councillor Westwood moves that way. Is that seconded? Seconded Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried. All right, another one will jump. Where are they, Ms. Jarrett? Confidential. Are there any other extremely... What about the financial report? Oh, yes. Okay, well... Members, we might have to extend time, I think, because we have got a couple of motions we need to deal with. Shall we say till 10:30? Moved reluctantly, Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? Not me. All those against? It's carried by majority, I'm sorry to say. Look, the... I'll leave some of these less. Can councillors just shout out if they had a nomination for the John Legault Award? Otherwise, I'll just skip past it. Were there any nominations for the LGA president or the board? Bruce, can you hold off till next year? Did we pass that motion about... Yeah, we did, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll just skip over it. If we don't deal with it, we don't deal with it. Sorry, members, I'm just flipping through the agenda with the assistance of staff to see... I mean, Can I ask Mr. Mifsud, what are the implications of not dealing with the finance report tonight?
Through the Chair, the finance report is for Council to note. It should be relatively straightforward. It would mean you would have two finance reports adopt next month, which probably doesn't add a lot of value.
Not the best. All right. Well, let's deal with that on page 227 of the agenda, the finance report. Is that Councillor Hutchinson? Moves as printed. Seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. Any questions or comments? Here's your chance. Mr. Mifsud's been waiting all night for this. Councillor Gard.
There was a point about funding a grant that we didn't exercise. Was it of the order of $1 million that came into the report? I'm sorry that my computer's not up and running properly, but I just wondered whether there was an explanation behind that from my point of view and other new people.
Through the Chair, I don't believe it is this report, but I make an assumption, and you know what they say when you assume, so I'll take a crack at this, but I assume it could be to do with grants and carryovers, which is part of the first budget review. It's actually quite typical in a local government to receive grant funding just prior to the end of the financial year. That grant funding is for a specific purpose. It could be to build something, it could be for a community service, and therefore we have to, through the Local Government Act, make sure we carry over those funds into the next financial year so that they get used accordingly in line with the grant.
Right, so they're not actually jeopardised in any way due to the carryover?
No, through the Chair, not at all. It means they're retained and secured for the use for the community as they were so desired.
Right. Any other questions or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Raise your hands if you agree. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Very well. We're staying till 10:30. Let's do that. Right, so on page 241 of the agenda, strategic activities, this is called. I must say, I find it, Mr. Searle, could you explain something? I'm just struggling with this because it doesn't look to me like it's really strategic activities. I can see that the reports from the three directors tend to be meetings which cover strategic consideration to some extent, and some of the chief executives report, but I just struggle to see that, you know, the list of items, say, under the chief executive officer report, like the attending the Christmas carols, are part of the strategic directions. Do you want to comment on the nature of the report?
Mr. Mayor. The report is just essentially a list of external meetings or events that each of us have been involved in. We can, it's been the custom and practice for a number of years, we can actually review what we report on and link them more specifically. Christmas Carol and those sort of events are regarded as part of Council's community connections, so it's part of our relationship with our own community, so they've tended to be put in on that basis, citizenship ceremonies, the like, etc. But we can review what you'd like to actually see in these, or the Council would like to see in these, if that would help.
Thank you. Well, I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Moved, Councillor Valescu?
I'm happy to move that, and I guess on that point, maybe with a new Council we can reiterate the sort of things that we would report on, because I think if we have a liaison role with an organisation, you know, that, or certain things we may not really need to re-
report on in a similar situation to what you've raised here for the executive members. So maybe some clarity to members as the sort of things that are tend to be covered in our reports, elected member reports, because if it's work we'd sort of be doing anyway, we tend not to put that in there. So that's...
Thank you.
But so I'm happy to move the motion.
That's moved. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Appleby. My point was that if members want an external meetings report from the Chief Executive and Directors, then this is a good one. But if members want a strategic activities report, that might be something different. But that's something we can have a discussion about between meetings. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you.
Your Worship, I just wanted to raise one other item, which is time critical, since I have gone to the trouble to nominate and
fill
out a form that closes 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Did I skip over that? I beg your pardon. I was actually trying to work through the agenda sequentially, but we're jumping around a bit. I beg your pardon. Page 211, nominations for the DAC. Councillor Hutchinson, you might have a... Oh, he's gone. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay, looking for a motion. Councillor Pryor. Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry. Any discussion? Being no discussion, I put the motion. Raise your hand if you agree. If you disagree, raise your hand. That's carried by majority, so that'll be put forward. If the councillor could be called back in. Questions we note. And Councillor Crossland's been busy with questions. So they'll be recorded in the minutes, but unfortunately I won't invite discussion on that tonight so we can keep going. Councillor Appleby too, I hope you're satisfied with that answer or it might lead to more questions. Staffing and recruitment. I'm just flicking through these questions. Right, are we just left then with the confidential report? What have I missed? Oh, sorry, which one? Oh. 253, I beg your pardon. On page 253, notice of motion, Councillor Hutchinson.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I think we've spent enough time talking about this during our initial weekend away when we were debating the elected members' benefits policy. I think this is just covering that off and getting some final resolution on that.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, any other speakers? No? Raise your hand if you agree. That's carried unanimously, apart from Councillor Hull, who's out of the meeting. Very well. We're up to... We just have the one motion left, is that right, Mr. Searle?
That was probably Councillor motion around the parking.
Oh, that has been dealt with, yes. Right. So councillors, we're on the blue paper at the end of the agenda. I'll take... Now, there's been some discussion with staff prior to the meeting about the confidentiality aspect. So can we take the confidentiality motion first? I thought there was some alternative wording that was put. Then it's sort of how long. Yeah. Right. So this is a straightforward matter to begin our confidential discussion I have a moved Councillor Telfer. Oh, declaring an interest and leaving the meeting. I think this is the last motion, so may not. Is it? Oh, okay. Oh, the Chief Exec minutes. Okay. Moved Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Pryor. Raise your hand if you agree. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Is it? Yes, it is. So now